Behind every fabulous drag queen, there's a vivacious woman who informs her sensibilities. For years, Cooking with Drag Queens star Teri Yaki talked about how fabulous her sister Stacy is. And when we met Stacy, Stacy more than lived up to all the outrageous stories.
Today, Stacy Yaki, daughter of a preacher man and sister to a queen, joins us to talk about her adventures dancing in an elite nightclub in Manhattan and sneaking off to get her first boob job without her parents' consent when she was just 17.
Plus, is there really a difference between expensive vodka and cheap vodka?
Frost quakes when the earth gets so cold it starts to shiver.
And a new study says eating nuts is good for your nut. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Feast of Fun is made possible because of fabulous people like you. Thank you. Right now, we need your help. After many years of creating podcasts and videos you love, our dear computer can't take it anymore and is ready to go to the great big recycling bin in the sky. It is heartbreaking to be in this situation.
Visit GoFundMe.com/FeastOfFunComputer right now and give any amount. Help us reach our goal of saving the show's podcasting computer. Every dollar you give goes directly into making Feast of Fun last for years to come. We know we can count on you to make a big difference and continue the show. Thank you for loving Feast of Fun.
Thank you very much. Once again, the link is GoFundMe.com/FeastOfFunComputer. We all sound good. We all look good.
We look fabulous.
We're fabulous and 40.
Well, something. I'm a visitor. That's how old I am. Vince Vega.
Mark, what did you say? Like, when you're dancing for men for money.
Yes. When I was.
You keep your mind on the money and your eyes on the wall.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
You know,
unless they're cute,
dancer.
And in that case, I would ride them.
Because they don't think of you as human. They don't think of you as all.
No, they don't. No. They just look at you as an object. The thing is you have to be an actress. You can't act smart at all. You just have to sit there and giggle and act stupid.
Oh.
If you say anything smart.
Just like Mark does on the show.
That's not true.
You have to be dizzy and just like act stupid, because if you say anything smart, they're like intimidated.
Instant boner killer, right?
Instant boner killer. Yeah.
A hard woman is good to find, and behind every fierce drag queen, there's even a fiercer person inspiring them. For a lot of us who are female illusionist entertainers, campy queens, we're usually inspired by really wonderful people in our family we draw on as a wealth of knowledge and inspiration for our characters. Of course, you guys remember Teri Yaki from Cooking with Drag Queens. Over the years, her real life sister, Stacy, is somebody who's moved to Chicago, and we've become close friends with her. And Stacy is a hell of a good time, if you ask me. Welcome to Feast of Fun.
Thank you, Fausto. So, my pleasure.
It's a pleasure to see you. So you got your start in show business, just having fun with your brother,
yes,
Kevin, who we all know as Teri Yaki.
Yes.
In the Brewster Projects of Detroit, Michigan.
Yes, the wonderful city of South Detroit. Yes, it's fabulous. That's exactly where I left.
You know, that's what RuPaul says.
I actually started show business in New York City.
In New York City?
Yeah, I was working at Scores in New York City, yeah.
What is Scores? What is it?
Scores is one of the most famous strip clubs in the city.
All right.
Yeah. I met some celebrities.
How old were you when you first started dancing for the pleasure of others?
I was 18. I was 17. I was underage. Yeah.
You started working in New York City at 17?
Yeah, I got a boob job when I was 17, underage. I lied about my age.
So you just walked in there with cash and were just like, I need a boob job. They're like, how old are you,
ma'am? Well, that's a tricky question.
You had a man pay for it.
No. No man paid for it. I waitressed my ass off, and I only came up with $2,500. The boob job was $5,500. So when I went in for the consultation, I just like pretended like I had all the money, and they're like, and I wanted to get it done before, like they said, well, it's December and we need to get you in next week. Can we do it next week? And I said, sure. He said, well, we have to take cash. And I'm like, okay. And then I didn't say anything. And then I showed up. Oh, no, they didn't mention cash until I showed up for the actual surgery. And she said, I don't know if the substitute receptionist said, I don't know if they told you, but we only take cash. And I said, oh, I said, I have about $2,500 on me. I can get it to you, which I didn't have.
You were totally lying.
I was totally lying. And she thought, well, if somebody has $2,500 cash right on them, then she had no question that I'd have another $2,500, which I didn't. So I said, okay. So I had the surgery. And the funny thing is it was a secret. So I had my one girlfriend take me there. But she ditched me. And so this is horrible. So when I woke up from anesthesia and I'm totally out of it, my friend ditched me and they called my emergency contact, which was my father.
Oh my, that's how your father found
that's
out?
That's how my whole family found out. My brother didn't even know. They called my dad. My brother told me he was there when my dad found out on the phone. And he said my dad's face turned red it started from his neck and went all the way up to his head.
Because your father's a pastor.
My father's a deacon.
He's a
Southern
man of God.
He's a Southern Baptist deacon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so my brother said his face turned beet red and he came and picked me up and he lifted me up and he just dropped me in his truck. And the whole family was in an uproar.
This was in New York City.
No,
but you guys
I get the boob job in Detroit.
Okay.
And so did you give them that cash money or because you were underage, they like kind of like let you go?
They didn't know I was underage.
No. So did you pay them the $2,500?
I ended up paying in payments, which they don't take, but they had to take it because they needed,
would have just been like, you just performed surgery on a 17-year-old without parents' consent.
Well, I paid them back eventually. I've had complications. This is the third one.
Okay, because I think you have to change them out they're like tires, right? You have to get them rotated and realigned.
I've had complications. The funny thing is the second time around, I just had them done, and then I was like on Vicodin, and I was having sex with this guy, and I like. I was pulling up my boobs to push them up to squeeze them together, and one of the stitches came out underneath.
Oh, my God.
And so I had to get the whole right side redone because it's at risk for infection. So I had one boob for a while, and then I had to come up with the money because of the anesthesiologist. The surgeon was going to redo it, because he would have gotten sued. But I had to come up with money for the anesthesiologist. So I had to borrow that from a sugar daddy who ended up being gay.
So the original reason we're talking about this is, did you get into dancing because you're wanting to get a boob job, or was it the other way around, or both kind of happened at the same time?
No, I got a boob job just because I just wanted a boob.
It was the thing to do.
It was the thing. I just always wanted a nice chest.
And were your other female friends, like, supportive of this? Were they jealous? Were they like...
Well, at the time, I didn't have a lot of female friends are hard to keep. Like, it's not like a guy thing where like you can be bros, I've gone through lots of girlfriends that kind of, like, for instance, I went all through high school with this one girlfriend from youth, and then her boyfriend grabbed my ass, and then she blamed me, and I told her, and then I never talked to her again. So like, it's hard to, I have a few good friends, but they're the ones that are like true and royal, they're real.
And what was their thoughts at the time?
I wasn't friends with some of those at the time, and I never really talked about it at that time with any of the girlfriends.
Well,
yeah.
With Teriyaki, did you talk about getting the boob job?
Oh, he was furious.
He was mad at you because he wanted one himself.
Well, you know how
he
found out.
How dare your boobs be bigger than mine?
When he found out I was a stripper at that age, it was because of this bitch roommate that, like, we got in a fight and I was on the phone with my brother.
Yeah.
And she's like, why don't you tell your brother you're stripping? And then my brother overheard it. And he's like, Stacey, are you stripping? And then he got really mad at me. And that's how he found out. So everything
this is before he became a drag queen.
This is before he became a drag queen. But the funny thing is, it was coming because when we were adolescents, he was stealing my clothes. And like,
stealing your clothes.
Yo,
like,
we got in he was like girl fights.
Teriyaki as a teenager was a fashion conscious.
Yeah,
teen.
Yeah, yeah. He would steal gender my clothes, and we would get in that was our adolescent fights. Like,
so it was seen that he was cross dressing as much as he wanted to wear European 80s.
He wanted neon. He wanted tight shirts and my shirts, and he would stretch them out. So if I was 14, he would stretch out my shirts and steal them, and I'd be like, we'd get in we were adolescents. So I'd be like, I'm going to cut you. But I wasn't serious. Of course, it was a butter knife. But I was just pissed because how brothers and sisters fight.
How many brothers and sisters do you guys have?
It's just us two.
It's the two of you guys.
Oh, your poor parents.
I know.
I mean, a drag queen and a stripper. And
mom and dad, I got to say, mom and dad, if you are out there listening, you did a great job on the two of you because the two of the nicest, kindest, most compassionate people I know is Teriyaki and her sister Stacy.
Why wouldn't they be? They were raised by deacons.
And you know the funny thing is,
yeah,
they never ever judged us for our behavior or how our lifestyle was. They never even mentioned it.
I don't know if they have the words to talk about it. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like hard for them to sort of wrap their heads around it. The way I tell people is who are in this kind of unconventional or I call it theater on the margin, right?
Uh-huh.
It's you're basically entertaining, you're serving humanity, mankind specifically.
Specifically.
And part of it is like your role there is very similar to what your father does as a deacon. You're speaking, you're trying to connect with people, and you're trying to make themselves feel better, regardless of whether you're successful or not at that.
Yeah,
right?
The goals are similar. It's for some. For me, I was that kind of person. Like, when I was dancing, I would go to, the lonely-looking guy that just went company. And I had a system. Like, I was a pro. Like, I went to the lonely guy in the suit, that just wanted someone to talk to. And I would never go up to like a group of guys that looked like there would be trouble. So I would talk to them, and sometimes they would just sit and give me money just to have dinner with them and just have someone to talk to. And then other times, you dance.
Well, that's pretty rare, though.
That's rare.
Yeah.
And then
that's why I got it. I was an escort when I was 18 years old, and I did it for about 2 years. At about 8 times total. And the reason I got roped into it is because I had somebody be like, oh, you're not doing sex work. You're just hanging out with rich men and having dinner. I was like, I can do that. Be happy to. But of course it wasn't that.
Right. Well, it's funny because I did have, at one point, you could call it a sugar daddy, but at the time I didn't think it was because I never had sex with him.
Sure.
And then later on, I realized, okay, for a year and a half he was paying for Tiffany's jewelry and vacations. And all he wanted to do was take pictures of me and he would buy me sexy outfits. And I was like, okay, well, I don't have to have sex with him. And he's taking my vacations. Now I tried to, after I got sober, I felt bad about it. But then I realized he made out with my gay guy friends, when I didn't know. So I think he was just kind of hanging out with me and just having, just like to take pictures of me.
Well, you were like a safe space for him.
Yeah. And I think that's happened to me twice.
Yeah.
A guy I dated who ended up being gay. But I think that
If you look at the lives of a lot of boisterous women in entertainment.
Yes.
They usually wind up in very deep emotional or sexual relationships with homosexual men.
Yeah, that happened to me twice.
Yeah.
I think it's because they saw that, my brother's gay, I was open-minded, and that they thought, okay, she'll totally accept me, and they never really actually, those two guys never actually came out and said it. Mm-hmm. I just afterwards, in hindsight, like, you know, I was young, so I didn't really see it. I was kind of blind to it, but all the red flags were there. In hindsight, I saw it. And then especially, I ran into a friend just recently. He's like, I'm sorry I made out with your boyfriend, with Todd. His name was Todd. And I'm like, oh, and I'm like, oh, really? I'm like, I actually don't care. I never liked him.
Stacey, what kind of names did you use when you were dancing at the club?
I would change them a lot, because just for fun.
And was it confusing for you? Like, yeah, every then they'd be like, what was the name? Like,
I would say, I forgot.
Raquel was a
puppy. Raquel, I liked Raquel. I used for a long time Drew, because back in the day, I had short blonde hair, and I was like, I was obsessed with Drew Barrymore, so I used Drew, which wasn't a good stripper name because it sounds like a guy, but I didn't care. They don't care about your
name.
So
you didn't know, like, hi, I'm Drew Barrymore. I'll be your entertainer for the evening.
I would just say Drew. And nobody, they were like, well, that's not a good name, because everyone was Portia or, you know, Diamond or whatever.
Did you dance with any Hopes?
Hopes.
Or Pennies.
Or Pennies. Nobody wants to fuck a Penny. They want to fuck a Hope.
That's from the movie Showgirls.
You know what I would hate? What? The making it rain. Like, I don't have time to pick up your dollar bills. Like I don't have time for that shit. Like,
where do you want them to put it? In your bikini?
I would rather just put it on the side bikini. I hate when they would go to the front, because that's dirty.
Yeah.
You know, like, put it on the side.
Because that dollar bill is covered in feces and cocaine.
Right.
And they're trying to shove it in your little kitty
a lot of them would want to put the dollar in their mouth and have me take it with my breath and collect it with my breath. And I hated that. Occasionally I would do it.
I went to a strip club with my friend Iod once, and he did that to this woman. And this poor woman, really, she was like an A cup. She had to pull skin from the back and pull it front to try and get it with her dog. It was an Olympic feat.
Yes, it was. I hated that, but I would do it once in a while just for the entertainment sake.
Now in New York State, they can take it all off, right? Where you danced.
No. When I was living in New York, Giuliani, he got rid of all the shady places. So I worked at like the nicer places where there were huge bouncers. There were nothing shady going on in those places. Because when in New York, they got rid of all those shady places by the time I lived there.
What was like a shady place? Like a place that
I never worked.
Sex slavery or drugs or.
Well, in Detroit, they have. It's basically like when I went back years later after I stopped stripping and I got my shit together. I went back just to
make, to New York?
I went back in Detroit because I danced in Detroit a little bit at some of the higher end clubs. But then in Detroit, when I went back, I had a big attitude problem, because then I was sober and I was, you know, like,
you were better than the local girls.
Yeah, I was like,
I'm a New York City stripper.
New York City.
Well, I was like, don't. I wasn't taking the disrespect. Like,
what was the name of the club?
Which one?
The fancy one in New York City.
Scores.
I'm the Scores girl. You're just a local Detroit ditty.
Yeah, and this guy and the owner, he's like, well, and I'm looking at these girls in the day, the night shift, because I want a night shift, you make more money. He's like, and I'm older now. I still look hot, but like,
you've got a rockin' bod.
Thanks.
Fitness is number one.
But this guy, I mean, they try to put you down. So, but I'm a smart ass.
Like verbally, you mean?
Oh, yeah. Like, for instance, this guy says to me, well, you know, you're a little older for the night shift. I said, I know my birthday. And, you know, like, I was a smartass, and he didn't like that. Mm-hmm. And then
he's going to teach you a lesson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then he said it twice. So I'm like, you know, he was trying to get to me. And I just laughed at him, and he didn't like that. So I got fired, which I don't care. I don't care. They try to put you down. They want to bring you down. That's their goal.
That's a part. It's part of their fetish, is to humiliate you.
That's right. They want to humiliate. And they couldn't do that to me, so that made them angry.
Mm.
Especially, like, back in the day when I was drinking, I'd just blow it off. But when I went back and I was older and smarter and sober, I was like,
Well, the thing is, like, what turns some people on? Yeah, some people are attracted by a young woman, but a lot of women,
exactly,
a lot of men, like a mature woman.
I was making the same amount of money, if not more, as an older woman.
As they say in Valley of the Dolls, all cats are gray in the dark.
But my body. body was more rocking than these young girls. Mm-hmm. I was, and I had said something to one of the agents, like these agents, they want to take your money. And mm-hmm. I would never, I was an independent contractor. I was never going to give someone my money. And
wait, they have agents for strippers?
Yeah. Yeah. And these guys are shady, shady guys. Okay. And this guy was like, I had said, yeah, like night shift, like look at the night shift. They're all full of cellulite. Like, and then he told the owner, the guy that told me I was like old, you know, and I like laughed at him like, yeah, I know my birthday. He's like, oh, I heard you said something about cellulite. I'm like, yeah, I'll look in the back room. I'm like, all these girls were like literally eating a full meal before they went on stage. And I mean, no big deal. I'm not judging big people, but your job is to look hot on stage. That's mm-hmm. your job. And if you're like...
A lot of guys don't care about cellulite either. They want to see a jiggle.
They
some
just
people
want
to
young.
See a thick and juicy girl, mm-hmm. too. But
sure.
There's an expectation of a narrow body type.
Yeah.
And so they want to see a woman that's more athletic in that context, usually.
Well, yeah, I would say so. And I would say, you know, like... I would say they are attracted to youth. You know, they want to see like a young girl, and they want that naive girl. And but they also want the cougar. You know, so I made plenty of money, if not more. Mm-hmm.
Did you make any friends while you were dancing? And
hell
stuff that you
still
no. talk to?
Hell no. I had a routine. You don't make friends with those girls. Like they're shady. The one girl I did make friends with. I only made friends with her because I was like sexually attracted to her, but she was hot. Okay. But she was shady as hell. Her name was Roxy. Well, that wasn't a real name. Karen was a real name. she like literally, this is funny. Cause she was getting married to this guy the next day. So I'm a makeup artist. So I was like, did her makeup the day before. And she's like, okay, let's go to dinner. And it was with two guys from the club. I'm like, okay. Because I never hung out with guys from the club. Never gave my number. Nothing like that. I was pro. So she, like, had dinner with these guys. And I'm an open book and I can't keep a secret. I'm like, she said something like, you're going to do that and you're getting married tomorrow? And these two guys at dinner were like, you're getting married tomorrow?
Oh,
and I totally gave it away. Yes. And then she got married.
Did that compromise her marriage at all?
No, she still got married.
How has Linda found out?
And then later, less than a month later, she divorced him and got a huge house. And the guy just let her have it.
Wow.
So she was smart.
That's called feminism, honey.
She was like a smart
the power
stripper.
Of the pussy girl.
That she was smart. She divorced him a month later and had a humongous home. All to herself. Didn't pay for shit.
When did you find out that your brother was moonlighting as a drag queen in Detroit?
As a drag queen?
Yeah.
Let's see.
Like when was the first time you like, you know, I think Kevin is also wearing a G-string and heels and pantyhose for the entertainment of men.
You know what? I can't remember the day that actually... I remember the day I found out it was solidified that he was gay. Yeah. And that was in adolescence. I can't exactly...
Because Teriyaki famously dated cabaret singer Amy Armstrong
yes,
for a long time.
Yes. But this is how So I don't exactly remember when he... It was a slow transition. So, and I was living in Detroit. I was living in New York at the time when he was in Chicago. So that was a transition. And you would think that people would think that I would be shocked, but I was never shocked. I do remember though distinctly that the moment it was like, we always thought, you know, Kevin was, you know, probably gay. But when I really found out and it was solidified was when, of course, the young sister snoops in her brother's room. And so I was like 14 and I'm snooping in his room. And I was like, I read this card and it was like from a guy named Ted and it was a love letter. And I'm like, and it was the 80s. Okay. Like, so I didn't even... Not one second of him being gay even hit my mind. It didn't even matter. Like, I didn't even think about that. All I thought about was we had a really close friend that had HIV. And mm-hmm. that's the thing I thought of. I didn't think about gay.
And that's a reality for a lot of gay men. Like, when I
from
came
our
out,
age, yeah.
When
right.
I came out to my mother, two concerns of hers was like, will you have children? Uh-huh. And then how are you going to prevent from getting HIV?
Right. And that's the only thing I was concerned about. I didn't yeah. care. And it's funny, like, I look back and I'm like, that wasn't even on my mind. Like, that didn't, and I...
Even though you were raised religiously.
Yeah, because my parents weren't like those kind of people that would, they were like non-judgmental how you should be. And that's the, you know, so they never even said anything about it to Kevin. They never said anything about it to him at all. So it was kind of like, you know, it was kind of like we never talked about it. And we still don't talk about it. And Ray, his boyfriend comes.
Husband.
They come home and have for 10 years for Christmas and Thanksgiving. And we just act like normal family. But we never just say, my dad or mother never ask him or talk to him or had that conversation. We just went with the flow.
But I imagine that, you know, here you are doing all this like really wild stuff in New York City.
Yeah.
And so simultaneously, your brother is also.
Yes. Yeah. I've analyzed that too. And I know, you know, when you have two creative, eccentric, open-minded, kind of wild people, and you try to box them in with religion and say, like, when we were young, we weren't even allowed to listen to rock and roll music. Like, that was, like, a thing. Like,
what kind of music could you listen to?
Only Christian.
Like, Donny Osmond and Marie Osmond.
Like, crappy shit. Christian, like, gospel. What,
drop some names here. Like, Pat Boone?
I hated it. I mean, I know all the hymns, let me tell you.
So was it, like, you know, Pat Boone? Was it, the you know, Anita Bryant?
Well, it was just the basic hymns from the hymnals. You know, I know all of them.
It was recordings. No,
we all sang.
Singing.
We sang.
Oh, you
it
had to sing live.
Yeah, we sang in church through the hymnals. Mm-hmm. So I know all the hymns, you know. Like they had like these boring, like it was boring gospel music, and I was like, as soon as I had the chance to move out, I was out of mm-hmm. there, and yeah. like.
Because those gospels, it's really hard to strip to that kind of music.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Do you think you would ever like return to dancing for the pleasure of others?
Well, I tried. And
maybe like even burlesque. That's a little bit more artsy.
I thought about burlesque, but I think I'm a little too thin probably for burlesque.
Oh, shit. Burlesque
I'm going to piss people off right now.
The burlesque thing is that everybody's welcome.
Everybody's welcome. Yeah. Okay, so I don't know much about burlesque, but I thought about it, and I did
see
it.
It's like stripping, but classy.
But when I... Yes, and I'm not classy.
You're trying to... You're trying to tell a story or something, you know?
Yes, they're different. Like, my brother said... My brother once told me, he's like, their burlesque is choreographed and they're artists. I'm like, Kevin, you know what's entertaining? A naked woman upside down on a pole. That's fucking entertaining. You know, you don't have to choreograph that shit to be entertained by that. And he like, just shut up. He's like,
Yeah, shut up, Kevin.
Because he's like, you're not a dancer.
Do you call your brother Teriyaki by her drag name?
I do. It's like, it's off and on. Like, sometimes I call him Teriyaki, depending on where I am. Sometimes I call him she. Sometimes I call him he. It's like, you know, it's just like, it's hard because I grow up, you know, I grew up with him, you know, call him Kevin. And I call him, you know, he, but like I want to, you know, call him.
We're respectful, right?
Yeah, yeah. So sometimes I get a little confused and then I fix myself. You
now,
know.
If you go to the website, feastoffun.com or the album art today show, you can see Stacy, Mark, and I in our Halloween costumes. And Stacy is paying tribute to the Bond girl that yes. was murdered by Goldfinger by being covered from head to toe in gold.
Mm. And that was, I have to say, Fausto's entire idea. Originally, I was an Egyptian queen.
Yes.
But then Fausto had this great idea, and he...
Well, because you were covering in all gold, and right. I was like, you gotta do the gold finger look.
And he fashioned
this is much
the whole
better.
Thing. It was so cool.
And it was like, you had all the 1970s yes. kind of stuff. You have a very, you know, Bond girl aesthetic mm-hmm. to your
thank
body, you
thank
know?
You, thank
big
you.
Tits, little waist.
Nice but, also, yeah. like, you're,
that's a great name for a band.
You're seductive.
Big top, small bottom.
You're seductive, but you're also, like, deadly, you know? Yeah. Like, you could be a Mata Hari. You could, you know, twist the game and suddenly...
I could never be a dominatrix, though, because I'm too nice. Like, I could... Like, I tried it.
That's the same thing that happened to me.
Really?
People always are like, will you, like, beat me up for pleasure?
I can't.
And I'm like... you know, it's just not in me.
I couldn't do it. Yeah. This one girl.
That, Mark could do it.
I can do it.
You could
Mark
do it.
Strangle
yeah. You would.
Feast of Fun. See, and we'll talk.
I let a guy suck my toes once for $500, but then I was too ticklish, so it wasn't even good. And then, like, I sat with a guy and watched CNN at the same, like, underground club and just watched CNN with him while he got drunk, and he paid me $500. Didn't touch me, nothing.
What was on the news?
I didn't pay attention. I was getting drunk, too. So, but, like, I couldn't hurt someone, you know? Like, this girl that got me into this place, I only went twice. Those were the only two experiences I had at this dungeon. But she was really into it. She, like, liked to hurt them.
Well, you can make some good cash doing that
yeah,
kind of
and
stuff,
I just,
know?
I couldn't do it. I am not that... I couldn't do it. Like, I didn't want to hurt someone. Even if they asked for it, I couldn't do it. Like, I don't want to hurt anybody, you know.
Do you think you could do it, Mark?
Yeah, I definitely could do it.
You could do it?
For sure.
If someone asked.
If somebody asked. It depends on what they want done.
Uh-huh. Well, these
as
guys.
As long as it's consensual.
I'm not going to, like, amputate an arm or something
right.
like that.
Would
like,
you,
if that's
well,
your
this,
fetish, I don't want to do something like that.
She would burn a guy with cigarettes, and I couldn't do that.
I don't know. I don't even want to see it happen. You
no,
know?
No, I couldn't do that.
I wouldn't like the smell too much. I don't think.
This girl was really evil, though. Mm. Kevin has, like, he's, like, a good guy, too. Like, we're both very empathetic to people, you know, down and out. And he brought this dominatrix girl in when I was living in Chicago with him. And she, it was Christmas time. And
Christmas with the dominatrix.
Christmas with the dominatrix. This girl... this is when the sugar daddy had bought me all this Tiffany's jewelry for Christmas, and I bought all presents for my family, getting ready to go back home and give the presents, and he gave me, like, cash, too. That night, right before Christmas, she robbed us blind of everything, gifts, money, and took off. And my brother, and I knew it was her. I was, like, ready to, if I found her, I was going to shave her head because her favorite thing was her hair.
Oh,
and I was
yeah.
like, that's what I was going to do.
Tonsure.
Yeah, because I'm not going to hurt her, but that would hurt her. You know, you shave that. For her hair, I knew that she just loved her hair. So I thought, if I ever see her, I'm going to shave her head.
Yeah, like a Nazi sympathizer.
But Kevin was like, oh, I don't think it's her. I'm like, Kevin.
So she was there. She's gone. All your shit's gone.
All the shit's gone. And Kevin's like, oh, no, it wasn't her. I'm like, Kevin.
So who was it?
It was her. And he's.
Did you ever see her again?
Never saw her again.
Ready to admit it was her?
I don't think so. Kevin's just.
So the picture
so nice.
You're painting for the listener sometimes is that you've had this really wild, very sexual past.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, today things are a little bit more calmer.
Yes.
Right now in Chicago, it is with a wind chill factor, -50 degrees outside.
Yes. Yes.
And the thing about it is, you know, I really love this time when this happens because it allows society and allows us in our lives to just put a pause, step back and think about, like, where we've come from and where we're going.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's a
and
pause
how will
button.
We survive the apocalypse when it finally gets here?
Right,
for sure.
Right.
We won't, you know, that's the thing. It's like with apocalypses, people struggle, but it's a nice quiet moment just to remove the noise from the world.
Yes.
And sort of like open up and to have a little bit of clarity. Like I went to the gym last night and it was the most pleasurable experience because
yes.
It was like, it was about 10 people there. That's usually like 100 there.
Yeah, it's nice.
And it was toasty warm and people were like, oh, it's so cold outside. And I'm like, I'm comfortable. There's a jacuzzi. There's a sauna. And it's like my own private place. And it was about the 10 guys that were there were gorgeous. And so I wanted to say, like, and for the listeners out there, that sometimes just like, you know, sort of like Marie Kondo right now, The Art of Tidying Up, simplifying, decluttering your life is really popular because we are so stimulated by television and the internet and our cluttered lives in a consumeristic society. You're right now sort of like trying to declutter your life too, right?
Absolutely. Everything has changed in my life. I am like, I actually, this is I mean, it seems silly, but I make my bed every day. I'm super clean. Everything's super organized. And my whole life, when I came back to Chicago and I was sober and my life had completely made a turnaround, when I came back to Chicago, I was like, who am I? You know, like, I didn't even know who I was anymore. Like, my coming back into the city, I was like, after a month, I kind of, you know, got used to it again. I'm like, okay, yeah, because I've changed 100%, you know, well, not 100%, but...
But you still like to have fun.
I still like to have fun, yes. But I still feel guilty. Like, we talked about, you know, you mentioned, because I said, you know, at the Halloween party, I was talking to you about how I'm like, I don't have a boyfriend, and like, I'm horny, you know, like, but it makes me feel guilty to just have like random sex.
So you're talking about like meeting men on or women on hookup apps.
You said girl Tinder. And so I tried it, but you know, because of my past and being treated as an object for so long,
it's too much of a trigger for you.
I don't know if it's a trigger, but I just feel really bad about myself if I've done it twice.
What do you mean by feeling bad for yourself? Like it brings back unpleasant memories?
I just want them to like me for who I am. I don't want to just have sex.
You want a
relationship.
Yeah, but the
connection
problem,
with people.
Yes, but people see me from the outside and they see that I'm open-minded and kind of, you know, eccentric and wild and talk about anything and then they don't want me.
Well, that's you're in control. You set the pace.
Yeah. Well,
you know, and if they're not at your pace, then you just be like,
that's what I need to learn. Yeah.
To the left.
See, I have to learn that because
it's hard for you to say no.
Because you're a people pleaser.
Exactly.
And you like to take your clothes off.
I do love to take my clothes off. Obviously, I love to take my clothes off. Speaking of taking my clothes off, I did meet Ron Jeremy. This is funny.
You did?
Yeah, he kissed me on the cheek. I was like so grossed out.
Ron Jeremy, for those people who don't know, is like a famous American porn star who's probably not the most attractive man in the world.
He's a troll.
But he's got a big dick.
I didn't see it. But I did this when I was a stripper. One of those stupid agents got paid to just go to this. They do this Nudes a Poppin' every year, and Ron Jeremy hosts. I met Andy Dick there. He was there.
He's trouble.
Oh, he was trouble. I talked to him, and he was totally wired. And
I'm surprised there's not like a Me Too movement against Andy Dick.
Against Andy Dick.
People are paid. Oh, Andy Dick?
Yeah. Andy Dick, yeah. He was totally wasted. But only the celebrities were allowed in, and there was a big gated area with all these naked women, strippers, and there was like contests. Uh-huh. And so we were safe, but there were photographers all outside of the gated area where all the naked women were, and we were just doing contests, dancing contests, beauty contests, blah, blah, blah. And it was fun. You know, like all these girls were just having fun. The men weren't around. They were just outside the fence taking pictures. But I had a blast. Mm. And I actually placed in the beauty contest, which was
nice. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Naturally. What place did you get?
I got 5. But there were hundreds of girls there. So that was pretty cool. You know, so.
You got skills, huh? And you know how to use them.
It was fun. But, you know, like, I'm comfortable naked, and I'm comfortable with myself, and I'm comfortable talking about things. And I think maybe the reason why I've never been married is because, I don't know, but I think, men who want to get married, they want, like, a mother figure or something. I don't know. I don't know if this is true.
Well, I'll tell you this, and I tell this to everybody, and I like saying this message because I really want people to understand it. No two people are alike on this planet Earth, right? It's like grains of sand, or snowflakes. Everyone is alike. Mm-hmm. Every relationship on this Earth is also going to be unique. Mm-hmm. And you stop looking for your keys when you find them.
Right.
And so, you know, your romantic life, your sexual life is a journey that you are taking. And it's like, and that may lead you to a relationship with somebody that's really deep.
I want that so bad.
And that's
bad.
Something, you know, to you, that's like a, you know, if you want it, you're going to get it.
I think
it's something worth cultivating if that's something you're valuing. But it's okay not to have it either.
It is.
It's okay not to be married. It's okay not to have a relationship.
I don't mind not being married. I just want love, you know? Yeah. And like,
well, do you love yourself? Do you love other people?
I love myself. I love my family. I have a great family. And so
that's all that matters.
Yeah. And I don't have children I'd never wanted to. So that's not a problem for me, but I do want love, but I just feel like it's hard to get past that, you know, point where guys, you know, they want you for what you look like and they don't see the inside of me. You know, like it's real tough, person.
Cause you know, for a lot of it is when you're on hookup apps, it's kind of like if you went to a rock concert, a football game, and every 10th person that was exiting the building, you started dating. It's just random.
It's random.
You go to the shopping mall, you pull somebody out. That's basically what those hookup apps are.
Right.
And you're not narrowing down your selection based on interests or passions or philosophy or lifestyle. So if you can find ways to meet other people by volunteering for a charity or taking a adult continuing education.
Sure, sure.
You know, even like you know, I wasn't not sexually interested in the people in my class, but I can see like if you're a heterosexual person and taking like a harmonica lesson at the like Old Town School of Folk Music, you could meet other musicians, you know?
Sure, sure.
And that might enrich your life in unexpected ways. So it's about sort of cultivating those kind of relationships that then lead to something very heightened.
That's what I want. And maybe I'm going about it the wrong way.
Or just, hang out in a bar and pick up a stranger in the middle of the night like I met Mark.
Yeah.
Now, I have had long relationships from guys I met in bars, and they were great guys. But, you know, in the end.
And that's the thing. It's like, you know, with this digital age that we live in, we're in some ways regressing because we don't have the aspect of self-selecting or narrowing down that group of people. So when you open up these dating apps, hookup apps, it's the general public.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
As RuPaul says, the unwashed masses.
And right? Then the trolls behind the screen, like, it's unbelievable how rude they can be and mean to you, even if you reject them in a nice way.
Hey, that's what that block button is for.
Yeah, well, but I get my feelings hurt so easily, even from a total stranger. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's you gotta fortify yourself against it.
I know I have to get a thick skin, but I also don't want to become that jaded person that just doesn't trust anybody.
Mm. There are times, you know, if somebody says something mean or unkind on the internet, you just become like Rambo, and you want to hunt them down.
Yes,
you know.
Yes.
What I'm saying?
It's weird. Sometimes it gets you to the core, and other times you're just like, whatever.
Well, that's you know what I learned. What I do now, because I just got it into these dating websites recently. It's not been too long, and what I realized, because I would get my feelings hurt a lot, and so I realized now the only time I'll go on those sites is when I'm in a really good mood, and I could laugh at it.
Mm-hmm. And you have to be able to. Yeah.
And if I'm not in the best of moods and I can't laugh at it, I won't even go on there because that's better for me.
Well, you know, we just spend time in out socially much different now. For hours, like before, you'd go out for like hours and end. And I feel like now everything is like very like, I'm going to go here for like this thing and that's it. And I'm going to move on. But
right.
I don't know. I feel like we had more, I don't know, more time on our hands when we were younger.
Yeah, and it's just not as personal, and people don't really want to get, like, if one thing goes wrong on, like, a talk, it's like, they're so mean. They're so mean.
They're ready to cancel you.
Well,
I'm not interested in them, I get
what the world needs now is love, sweet love. It was true in the 80s. It's true today.
True now, yes.
And the only way to get more of it is by sharing and growing love.
Yes.
Remember, folks, Feast of Fun is made possible because of your generous support. We are not able to do this podcast without your help. Our computer that we use to record this program is dying. It's said, I am sick of your crazy shit. I am not taking it anymore.
And it cannot process right now the 4K video that we need to complete Cooking with Drag Queens.
Oh. So we're borrowing a friend's computer in the meantime, and our friend's like, TikTok, baby, I do need that. You know, they're using this for another job. So the clock is ticking. We are trying to raise $3,500 in the next couple of weeks. It's really tight for us. Mm-hmm. So far, I want to just do a shout out to people who have donated at GoFundMe.com/FeastOfFunComputer who've managed to step up to the plate. And that is Larry, Curtis, Rochelle.
Oh, Rochelle. Thank you.
Christopher, Curtis, Alex. To get these five individuals to collectively moved that goalpost forward to $225.
That's fantastic.
That's just five people.
Now, thousands of people listen to this podcast. Let's see what we can do.
Fausto and Mark are two of my absolute most favorite people in the world.
Tell the people why you love me so much.
Yeah, tell us why we're so
wonderful. Because you're ass. What do you think? No, they're just real, kind, beautiful people.
You're so sweet.
I'm like Mr. Rogers, but I also make really great cocktails.
You're my favorite
Plus
sister.
Plus, you give me makeup tips.
You're my favorite sister of a drag queen ever.
Aw, thank you.
You're my favorite. Well, I have sisters myself, but one of my favorite sisters of anybody.
Except for his sisters.
Right.
Sisters. After them, you come next.
Oh, me and Kevin want to do that. I want to do a duet with him, sisters, and dress alike.
Yeah.
That's the thing, too.
Wouldn't that be fun?
You don't have to do burlesque. You can just do drag like he does.
We did dress up once alike, and it was.
There's no money in drag, you know?
Yeah, there's not a lot of money.
Like teriyaki, you know.
We did it for fun.
The money you brought home dancing on that pole, girl.
What's the most you ever made in one night from dancing?
$1,500 about.
God damn.
In one night. And that's tax-free. Yes. That's tax-free.
Because that's all dollar bills.
I made about, I'm going to guess, because it was all cash tax-free, which I'm sorry, taxpayers, for saying this.
You don't have to say it.
But probably I was making a little over $100,000 a year.
Oh, my God, girl.
Girl.
But that all went to shoes and vacations, so I don't have shit.
I can say, look, I can handle a lot of negativity. I'll get in on that pole myself.
Now, it's cold as heck here in Chicago right now. It's like minus 40 degrees wind chill factor. Now, last night, did you guys hear any of these frost quakes people are talking about?
No.
Like an earthquake.
Yeah, it's like a boom sound. And what's happening is that the ground is not completely frozen and it's oversaturated with water. And so like when the freezing starts to happen, the water will freeze and expand and it makes like these little explosions, right?
Oh.
And so you're hearing booms and stuff. And I'm not sure if I heard any last night, but I heard, you know, I have a couple of my Facebook friends being like, oh, I heard something. I heard
really?
That. I heard that. Like, I wondered what it was. I thought it was gunshots and stuff, but
My gosh, I didn't know that. I can't believe how cold it is here.
It's kind of wild, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you actually started training for a new job today. Well, you worked at
airbrush tan artist. Yeah, apparently
that was the best job ever.
And I'm going to be doing men too, and they don't have to wear their pants, so that'll be cool.
So can you
really?
Like airbrush?
You're
going to
be doing men naked?
Yeah,
but can you airbrush abs on my gut?
Yeah, I can. Yeah,
will it look crazy?
No, I'm good at it. I'm good at it.
That's what you all say to everybody.
No, I did it to myself when I was dancing. Like, wow. I had a little bit of abs anyway, but I would accentuate them a little bit, you know?
So when guys come in, they're going to be completely nude?
They can be. It's their choice.
Now, are you going to do airbrush a penis? How does that work?
Well, I haven't really gone over that with her because today was my first day of training. This is just a side job. I'm just testing out. I have like three jobs right now that I'm trying to see which one fits.
Your side hustle.
I'm hustling, yeah. Mm-hmm. And this is just a thing, but I couldn't believe they wanted
me. Are those realistic? Because I remember, like, in years past when you got you look like Trump. Yeah, why does Trump look weird?
Well, this is a color correction. So you can actually add green to cancel out, like, you know, the red or
why
orange.
Why is Donald Trump, with all his money and resources?
I'll tell you why. I know exactly. I know what you're going to ask. Why is he so rich and so orange?
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't he? Because nobody wants to tell him no. So, like, I imagine.
So he's stuck with a product?
I think this is just my guess. I have no idea. But as what I'm thinking about his personality is nobody wants to tell him no. So if he, like said, I like this, who's going to tell him no?
So he went to somebody, had it done, or they probably have somebody come to him, right?
Of course.
Is that what's happening?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's like, okay, I like the way this looks. And they're like, okay, and you sure you don't want to be a little brown? He's
and
like,
I'm
no.
sure the artist is not like, I imagine he hired someone that was very good, but they're probably just doing what he asks.
Mm-hmm. The irony doesn't escape me, but it escapes him that for being such a racist person, he wants browner skin.
I don't know why.
He doesn't like the color of his skin, so he changes it artificially.
Right.
And in his brain, his little monkey pea-sized brain,
right,
he thinks he looks good and he looks tan and
I've noticed
healthy.
he's lightened it up a little bit. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, since he became president.
Because people
not
have made fun of him so much.
Ridiculous. But it's still ridiculous.
It's still
looking.
Ridiculous.
And he doesn't tan his eyes. It's
no.
Like, it's weird. So he has
what are you supposed to do there?
Raccoon kind of thing going on.
Well, he's probably closing his eyes too tight, mm-hmm. you know, is what I imagine. Or
isn't there like a cream you can put around?
It's like a moisturizer silk where you put it on the knuckles and like the heels and where mm-hmm. the dry spots are. But either I can't imagine that he would hire someone that was untalented in airbrush tanning. I just think, you know, the people don't say no to him.
How do you feel about nuts? So you're a fan of nuts?
Like what kind of nuts?
Get these nuts out of my face.
Ground nuts, tree nuts, all those kinds of things.
Wait.
It's about like food in the supermarket.
Food?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh yeah, I like nut butter. Sex. I like nut butter.
Because there's a new study out there that says eating nuts boosts the sperm quality.
I do maca.
Really?
Yeah. Oh really?
So it's a little bit of both.
It significantly improves
nuts?
Total sperm count and vitality,
you're
motility,
kidding.
And morphology. It doesn't mention taste though, which is probably important for all of us at this table, right?
Yes. What about maca? Maca is
this is not in this report, but I do. I like maca. I had some. I've got to get some more.
Maca is good for
For people though, is a Peruvian root mm-hmm. that
yes.
when it's dried and ground up,
highest altitude plant ever. It's a root just like a beet, you know, mm-hmm. but it's the highest altitude.
It's part of the same family as it's a cruciferous, so it's the same as cabbage and broccoli and all those things. So it's very great, powerful anti-cancer.
And so a lot of people buy this powder, mm-hmm. and on the outside of the package it says tastes like butterscotch. If butterscotch tasted like ass,
it doesn't taste like butterscotch.
It tastes like hell.
It tastes gross.
Disgusting.
Yeah, my smoothies taste awful, but it has everything my body needs. You know, like they taste awful.
It's supposed to be good for libido too, right?
Right. That, yeah, yeah.
They call it the Incan Viagra.
Yeah, yeah. That's it.
It helps you regulate. The way it's supposed to work, allegedly, is that it helps balance your body's hormones.
Yes.
But in terms of like the nuts, I think a couple aspects of why nuts are good for you, and not all nuts are the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's the ones that are rich in fiber.
Like
and
Brazil
have, and very low in tannins. So, like, I think, like, an almond is a... Of course, the problem is that we're destroying the environment because we love almonds so much.
Yeah.
But it's so delicious.
It is. I love almond
But almonds
butter.
Are really, really good for you. And I certainly, like, I'm a big believer in all kinds of nuts. Hazelnuts are also great. But one nut that we tend to discourage or walk away from is walnuts.
And why?
Because some people have allergic reactions, and walnuts tend to be higher in tannins. Mm. And so they can, this is all, you know, rumors or hearsay.
Put it in my oatmeal every day.
A walnut?
Just one?
I like walnuts. I like walnuts.
What about like
eating the reports out there that, so if you want to have a good nut, you have to eat a nut.
Brazil nuts are supposed to be good for you, too.
Those are really good, yeah. And especially if you're not a fan of eating so many nuts, like just taking like psyllium husk or having a high fiber diet and, you know, make salads with salad dressings with, you know, almond oil or avocado oil or.
Nuts are also linked to longevity, too. People that live a long time usually have some kind of nuts in their diet. And that might be from some trace things like magnesium or zinc are also in there, too.
I take all those supplements. Mm-hmm.
Now, from the other end of the spectrum, and yes, eating pineapple will make your sperm taste better.
Yes, it
but
does.
But tiny
actually.
Little bit.
It does work. It actually works.
I know you do. Did you do your own study?
I didn't. It was a surprise. So this is funny because this like guy that I was dating, he was like super healthy and like was a triathlon runner.
Oh, hot!
I'm telling you, oh my God, I have never had better sex in my entire life.
Why are you not with him now?
Because he's in Detroit. But every time I go back, I have sex with him.
Oh, all right.
He is amazing. I think he's making up for his height.
Oh, is he short?
5'5"?
Super short. Because I made a joke. I'm a jokester. You know, I thought it was funny because I said, one time I said, hey, look at our boots. They're the same. And he's like, oh, yeah, I have lifts in mine. I'm like, okay, Tom Cruise. And he didn't think it was funny.
Oh.
He wow. did not think it was funny. And I was just joking, but he was the best ever.
Those lifts can add a good inch or inch.
He was
half
very short,
right?
Which didn't bother me, you know, because I'm short.
How tall is he?
He was in, I didn't wear heels around him because I didn't want him to feel uncomfortable, you know, but he was very short. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like how tall?
I would say he was probably only about 5'4". He was short.
Forget about those 5 feet. Let's talk about those 4 inches.
Oh, he had plenty. He had plenty of penis.
Yeah.
But he knew. I mean, this guy, I don't know how
well,
he
you know,
did it.
Well, you know, people feel bad. You know, it's people come in all different shapes and sizes. And
he was amazing. It was like he could like. I mean, he could go down and then come back up and then come and then come back up and then come again. It was like incredible. Like I couldn't believe it.
Well, a lot of your sexual health is tied to your cardiovascular health.
Yeah, and he was a runner every day. He ran every day, a marathon runner, like super. But that was going back to him, the pineapple thing.
Yeah.
So
he just all like, over your face.
He surprised me. He's like, and I had no idea this was coming.
really, you had no idea.
No pun intended.
Coming.
No pun intended. So we did it, and then he like came in my mouth, and he's like, "What does it taste like?" And I'm like, "I'm like pineapple." He's like, "Yep," and I was like, "I couldn't believe."
You win more sperm.
I never in my life, that never happened to me. I was like cracking up. And I never heard about that, but I really guessed it.
Yeah,
so
it's a real thing. It's a real thing. I don't know if it tastes like pineapple, but they say it makes your sperm.
It did
taste
because
sweeter.
He didn't give me a hint. I guessed it. Mm-hmm. So it did taste like pineapple.
I heard that if you eat a lot of lemons and limes, your sperm tastes like Skittles.
you could kind of jerk them off a little bit with some coconut oil and be like a pina colada.
Ooh, yummy. That's a great idea. I'll mention that next time when I go to Detroit to visit him.
This is a common question we get asked. Okay. And there's a lot of urban legends regarding what vodka does and what vodka is and isn't. This is a common question is, will I get that fancy top shelf vodka if I pour the cheap vodka through a Brita filter, through a carbon filter, 5 or 6 times? So I research it extensively on the internet, and the quick answer is absolutely not. Okay. It does remove some toxins, and after the 6th or 7th pass, it does tend to improve the flavor just a tiny bit. But the reason that people are thinking about carbon filtering liqueurs, or vodka specifically, is because there's a type of whiskey that does get carbon filtered, but the carbon filtering for that type of whiskey is much more intense and refined.
Well, and also, when you make whiskey, a lot of times you have the whiskey in a barrel
for a long time,
and the inside of that barrel is often charred. So you want that smokiness will leach into that kind of thing. But for vodka, you know, vodka is two things. It's water and 100% grain alcohol.
Yeah.
So it's like
two things.
That's the only two things that are in vodka.
Yeah, and bad vodka is
and alcohol
the worst.
Is basically just a chemical.
So what is in bad vodka that makes it taste so bad in the first place?
Well, it might be the water. You know, the water, there might not be a good filtered water, and that might be the quality
I can tell the difference completely.
But there's some people that are just like, oh my God, I have to have top shelf, or I don't get a hangover when I have top shelf.
Right.
Chances are when you're having top shelf, you're probably not drinking as much as the cheap stuff. Because the cheap stuff, you're just like, I'll just drink more of this, that kind of thing.
When I was drinking, I drank a lot of it. And But I was young, and you know, when you're younger, you don't get a hangover as bad. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to tell.
Right.
You know?
Right. But you know, it's like I worked in the restaurants and bars for a long, long time, and I always thought there might be a difference. And then one of the liquor reps is like, there is no difference when you go to a bar, just order the well.
Really?
If you want vodka, just order the well.
Now, is there any truth to the rumors that a certain chain, should we talk about brands here? Costco. Mm-hmm. Costco's in-store vodka mm-hmm. is actually the same liquid
as
Grey Goose. Yep. It is just repackaged mm-hmm. and sold through Costco's brand, but actually molecularly from the distillery, from the same place, it is exactly the same thing. You're paying one-fifth of it.
I don't know if it's from the same distillery. I'm not really sure. But again, vodka is two things.
It doesn't matter.
Alcohol and water. So if the water is similar, then it's going to taste very much similar.
Now, one article that I found on the internet is that if you really want the best vodka mm-hmm. in the world, you just buy the alcohol and mix it with water yourself.
Really? See, I can tell a difference big time. Like, mm-hmm. because I lived with this lady, this little old lady, and she was rich, but she would drink the cheapest vodka.
Because she knows.
No, it tasted like it burned my throat because I had some of hers, and it burned the hell out of my throat.
Well, vodka's usually meant to be mixed with something.
Yeah, and I was drinking out of the bottle.
So
yeah.
If you drink them right out of the bottle, it's a little rough.
Yeah, it was rough. You know? And yeah, I guess so, yeah. I don't drink anymore, but I always was.
Congratulations. Drinking.
Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as I get older, it's like, you know, it's because, as a Cookie Monster says, cookies are sometimes food.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes food, right.
You know, it's like, I'll have a drink on Mark's birthday, which is coming this Saturday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you.
How are you going to celebrate?
Well, we're going to go out.
Take loads.
Pineapple loads.
Start eating now.
Inbox me. We'll see.
I'll give you a pina colada.
I'm going out with some friends and stuff, so that'll be fun. And then, yeah, that's it.
Kevin and Ray took me for my birthday. That was recent. So that was really nice.
Where'd you go?
We went to a fancy sushi restaurant.
Oh,
and
sweet.
We had green tea ice cream, and they sang me happy birthday, and it was really sweet.
Oh, that's really good.
I love sushi. You know, my favorite thing to do is just buy the fish yourself. Because what you spend, you can spend $20 on sushi and doesn't go very far.
Yeah.
But $20 of, you know, top shelf salmon uh-huh. from a high end, you know, grocery store, you'd be feeding everybody.
Because that's pretty much the only fish he eats is salmon. So.
I love salmon. Mm-hmm. Salmon's, you know? Yeah.
Now, some mm-hmm. people with their sushi, they like to eat the
tuna, the octopus.
Uni, mm-hmm. the sea urchin. Mm-hmm. On Off for Norga, you guys actually ate sea urchin right from the ocean.
Right
really?
From the sea.
You
Was
did?
It any good? Was it worth sushi prices?
I'm sure it's cheaper there, too.
You know, it was good. It had like, it tasted like the sea. It kind of had that umami kind of taste. Uh-huh, whatever. Uh-huh. But they all got a kick out of it. And if you see that episode, I think it's episode number 10 that I'm on in All uh-huh. for Norga. Is it 10? No, it's number 9. I'm sorry. So it's episode number 9, and we eat sea urchin. And when you pull it out, it looks
What's
like
it
a...
What's it look like?
Well, so it's like, it comes into like this, like, it comes in this shell, right? This ball that it's got all these little spikes coming out of it. And then you cut that open with scissors, and then you pull out this thing, and when you pull it out, it looks like a little brown star.
Really?
It looks like a butthole.
And so I kept joking about it being a brown star, and I didn't know if the Norwegians would pick up on it, and they picked up
they
on
picked
it, that's
up.
For sure.
And then
so if I wasn't making dick jokes on Alt for Norga, it was definitely butt jokes.
Butt jokes, you know, right, sure. right.
And they were like, you know, like, oh, Mark is such clever, so funny.
But they have a little bit of a
dirty
sense.
He is very
clever.
They have
clever. A dirty sense
you're
of humor,
you're
those
both
Norwegians,
are so clever.
Especially the older ones.
But which
ones.
One of the two of us do you like more? Do you don't have to
oh,
answer
Oh, that's
that.
A loaded question.
That's terrible.
Well, your parents always, like, played favorites, right?
Yeah,
guys, right?
My brother. Well, there was a reason, because
And you're got,
my
you
brother,
the wild child.
I was wild child because I was rebellious. Where Kevin, mm-hmm. or Teriyaki, it's hard because I mix it up. She would, she would always go along with it. Like, they would try to force us to go to church, like, force us. And my brother would always be like, okay, I'll go. And I'd be like, no, I'm not going. I want to see what's out there. I want to go to different churches. I want to see what's out there, you know? And they would
Teriyaki
beat me.
Was shopping for religions?
No, Teriyaki, I was.
Oh.
I wanted to do it, but they wouldn't let me because I was a kid, you know? Yeah. well, when I started to get into adolescence, I would rebel against it because I wanted to see.
One of those coexist.
Like, I'm going to the synagogue.
And then they would beat me. Yeah. With the belt. Well, that was tough. But Kevin never got the beatings that I did because he always just played along with them. But the funny thing is he would never end up going to church. He would just like placate them and say, okay, I'll go, and then never go. But I would fight it and say, no, you know, and then so I got most of the beatings.
That happened also with my older brother. We had our grandmother was this like right wing, you know, conservative Methodist Southern woman who lived most of her life in Mexico and traveled back and forth and stuff. And she was very big on her Methodist church. And she required us, growing from Puerto Rico, whatever we were visiting her, my grandmother in Southern Texas in Corpus Christi, we would have to go to church. And my brother somehow always weaseled out of it.
Yeah, that's my brother.
And I was just like, I was furious about it. Yeah. You know? I liked Sunday school because at least Sunday school was basically like Martha Stewart with a religious right-wing angle. So we got to do arts and crafts.
Yeah.
With, you know, Noah's Ark bullshit, you know.
Yeah.
Like, there was animals on Noah's Ark. Okay, we're going to make, you know, macaroni zebras today.
I loved it when I was a kid. Like, we used to go to church camp and you were hanging out with other kids. So we became really social. And I think that's where I became, like, you know, more, like, loving to other people. We just, like, we were all, it was really fun when you're a kid.
Because you're a sadistic monster.
Then once I hit adolescence, I was like, well, there's more out there than just this. And then that's when the rebellion starts, you know, when you're an adolescent. And Kevin just was smarter than me, I guess. He just played along with it.
What advice do you have for, like, listeners who are sort of, you know, right now living with their families, or families don't necessarily understand or appreciate them, and managing, you know, those expectations that they're conservative, religiously fundamentalist families have, that pressure that they put on them. What's a good way to manage that?
Well, I would say every human being is just a human being, and we all are just trying to make it in this world. And all of us, you know, just try our best, and we all make mistakes. We may not do the right thing for our family. Like, every parent isn't the perfect parent. You know, so, like, give everybody the benefit of the doubt that they're just trying to do their best of what they know, you know, and to not, you know, and maybe they're doing the wrong thing, and maybe it makes, you know, and but have patience and be loving and, you know, human beings all make mistakes. Sometimes they don't understand. And after, you know, like, my parents, that's the way they grew up. Mm. You know, they grew up with my grandparents were the same way. So, you know, they didn't know. So I forgive my parents for everything that I went through as a child. And we're all just trying to make it through this world the best we can. And we all make mistakes. And I guess.
So get him a copy of, like, Dreamgirls Patience.
Yeah. Yeah.
Patience, little
patience.
Sister.
But, you know, unfortunately, some people don't always get it. You know, like, some people are really, you know, and then in that
case. And even if your family can't be compassionate towards you, doesn't mean you don't have to not be compassionate to them.
Exactly. Because they're just.
But there's a lot of anger. Like, there's a betrayal that a lot of LGBT people, especially young trans people, have on their families that won't accept their gender identity. They're supporting a political party that's out to get them and harm them.
Yes.
And it's just like, it's really hard to understand and to manage those types of conflicts.
I can't imagine, because our family, even though my parents, like, it's so unusual, the dynamic, both of us hate Trump, my brother and I, and they voted opposite, and it's totally a different dynamic.
Even at this point in time, they're still, you
they're
know.
Still, but.
And Trump's, you know,
but,
a womanizer, a philanderer, he's a corrupt.
He's the worst.
He's he's as far from a Christian ideal as you can get.
Yes. And
they don't care, you know, they're not.
But, you know, like, it's like, you know, I guess it's got to be difficult, but I just, because of the way I grew up, I just, it's hard to understand, and I can't really, it would be hard to give advice to that because I didn't experience it, and I just don't know what to say about that. I don't
understand. Well, you survived. You're here.
I survived, but my parents were a lot easier, like, about
sure.
that. And, like, my parents didn't,
Well, do your parents ever, like, reach out to other people's parents? Because, you know, I see in the South, like,
oh, yeah, they would.
People kicking their children out.
That's
for
awful, yes.
Any little reason. And I would see, like, someone like your parents might be in a really good position to reach out to those families and say, you know, no matter what,
yes.
you don't kick your children out of the house.
Yes, and they don't. My parent, but I was lucky. See, my parents never did that to my brother and I. And so I can't even imagine what it would be like to have my own family member disregard me for sexuality or what my life choices were. I wouldn't even be able to start to understand or give advice on that because mm-hmm. I don't have that experience.
So you have a lot of humility about that and a lot of gratitude that that's not
yes.
been a reality for your life.
Yeah, I have a lot of gratitude because my parents, even though we were totally different mm-hmm. idealists, I can't even imagine, you know, I can't even imagine what that would be like. So I don't even know how to help is just.
Well, have you ever like called your parents and said, you know, thank you for not being.
Oh yeah, every day of my life, I like yeah. every day. I'm so grateful.
Because you could have gone that route and you didn't, and you made a conscious choice to love your children no matter what.
They did. My parents were like that. So sometimes I think, you know, sometimes when I see like because I'm you know I'm a huge part of the community. Because of my brother and I'm around it and I love, you know, my family, I consider the LGBT community my family. And I see people that are disregarded by their families and it.
Well, you're no stranger to the LGBT sensibilities yourself, girl.
Yeah, I'm
just saying.
Yeah, this is true.
It's not your identity, but it's early. You've taken a lot of vacations on that
yeah,
island.
Yeah, like vacations on that island. But it was just for
the
fun.
Lesbos.
You know? You know what, though? I tried it, and I never could get it right. You know, like...
You know what? Practice, honey. Practice.
Well, you know, like...
Practice makes perfect.
I did the... Yeah, I just don't... You know, you would think that I would know what I'm doing because I have the goods. You know, like, I you would think I would know what to do. But I get all lost in that shit. Like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, Stacey, you certainly know what you're doing when it comes to being a lot of fun to be around.
That's for sure.
And I really appreciate you in this godforsaken weather trekking out here, folks. I hope you guys appreciate Stacey Pipkin and give her big applause.
Thank you.
By like, you know, visit the site, post a comment, tweet at her and post Facebook messages and just tell Stacey how much you appreciate her mm-hmm. coming in this crazy,
I know,
nasty.
These double D's
sub-zero.
Made it through 40
D's.
Minus
double
D.
D's and sub zero, honey.
I love you all.
Your nipples are tighter than a
are
witch's.
Are they?
You have so many great stories. I hope you come back and tell some more
I would
sometime.
Love to tell my
we
story.
We just scratched the surface, yeah, yeah.
Wait,
by
I've
the way.
Got lots of stories. I just hope that everyone just accepts me. I'm
you know
full
the,
of love.
The craziest thing is when I posted those photos of you covered in gold and uh-huh. making it look like you're passed out, you know, because you're supposed to be a dead woman.
Right.
Right? People are like, is she really dead? And I was like,
is she okay? Like
yeah,
they were concerned for your safety.
Really?
They're probably even more concerned for your safety after this podcast.
I'm good.
No, when I was a kid, it's like, I always was told, cause we were very fascinated with metallic paint
uh-huh.
and we would like paint our hands or uh-huh. something, you know, fingernails, gold and stuff. And I remember very clear several adults coming up to me and be like, if you cover your entire body with gold spray paint, you will suffocate to death. And I was like, okay, but why is that going to happen? And I never realized
well,
there
back
were,
then it was made with lead. A lot of it.
Well, they were also referencing that scene mm-hmm. from Goldfinger.
Oh, they were. Okay.
You know, and people saw that scene in the movie and thought,
oh,
this
they
was
really
actually
thought
real.
That was real, yeah.
And I'm like, you know, it probably wouldn't be the best thing for you, but you got... you got enough time to get into a shower.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? You got enough time to wipe that shit off.
Right, right. That was the most fun night. Kevin's parties are a blast because there's entertainers and they're fun. And I just had a blast. It's Kevin's parties are amazing. Or teriyaki. I always get confused there. When
I really appreciate
thank you for having me.
You coming on the show, and we appreciate the people who listen. Once again, we are trying to raise money for our computer. We are just a couple of weeks away from not having a podcast.
Please help these beautiful men. So they're wonderful.
Go to GoFundMe.com/FeastOfFunComputer. I know it's a mouthful there, but you can spell it. We also have the link on the show's website, FeastOfFun.com, and on social media. If you follow us on Instagram, Feast of Fun, Twitter, Feast of Fun, YouTube, Feast of Fun, Facebook, Feast of Fun. It's all over the place, and you can help, put a little dollar in our jockstrap.
Yes, we want to keep this going.
Put a, make it rain, honey.
Make it rain.
How do you make it rain?
Well, I always hate
it. You're the one who is the expert on it. You made, what? How much was you brought home? $1,500?
They were dollar bills. It's not even worth my time.
You didn't count it? Well, you know it was $1,500.
Well, no, when they made it rain, it was just dollar bills.
Listen, people, I will take some of that rain. I'll be singing in the rain.
I'd prefer hundreds.
American Express will do.
But
nicely,
I don't do it anymore because I'm too old for it. And I remember when I was like 25, looking up at like the 40-year-old, and I'm 42 now, and saying, I don't ever want to be there when I'm that age. And
the craziest thing is that people still approach Mark and I for all kinds of prurient interests.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Well, daddies are very in right now.
They want us to be doing porn. They want us to be dancing on a stripper pole. And I'm just like, you don't really want that.
No.
I mean, I think I'm beautiful. I think I love my body. But and to me, drag, I'd rather be naked in a drag show and being sort of ridiculous and crazy and fun as opposed to being in that space.
And be judged.
Well, I'm going to be judged either way. And people who judge drag queens are the harshest critics.
Oh, I imagine.
But I'm having fun sort of rediscovering the joy of being a drag queen. And even though, like, you know, the drag scene, like my sisters here in Chicago don't really see me as one of their own. They don't really. No, I never get invited to do drag shows here. But whenever I travel, everyone's like, oh, you're going to be in this city? Oh, come be in a drag show, you know? So it's really,
perform as much out. But he's getting back into it.
But I would like to do more shows. I would love to be able to perform in clubs here in Chicago. It's like literally like I asked a friend. I was like, I want to be in your show. And they're like, well, and I was like, that's okay, baby. Man's rejection is God's protection. If you don't value what I have to offer to you,
see, I need someone else will. Fausto has helped me so much. And I have trouble with, you know, some things, you know, like I'm very sensitive, and Fausto has been really wonderful at just guiding me in like those life situations where I'm having troubles with. And
he can be a sweet guy sometimes.
He's a sweet guy.
At other times, I'm the devil.
I don't see that part of him.
Listen, we got to end the show, girl. Listen, I want to thank everybody for listening again. Our computer is down. We need to get a new one in order to finish Cooking with Drag Queens and getting it out there. So if you could make a donation at our GoFundMe, it's GoFundMe.com/FeastOfFunComputer. I'd appreciate it. It'd be a great birthday present to me.
Yes.
It's coming up. That's all I want is to get that computer funded. And you know, it's one of those things. It's like when we get this done, it's like we can crank these things out and we can all enjoy the beauty that is.
I got so many. I have a mukbang video of Mark eating spicy noodles with a Korean drag queen.
Ooh.
And it is hilarious and wonderful, and it's I just can't even edit it together. You know?
But we can soon with your help. Again, that's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. Thank you, Stacey Pipkin.
Thank you for having me.
Stay warm.
A God-fearing stripper. I appreciate it. Stripping for Jesus, honey.
I'm stripping for Jesus.
I love you so much.
Thank you. I love you guys.
Love you guys. Bye.
Bye.